That's where Judaism directly went against all the pagan doctrines, which had their gods, because that was one of the main breaks with paganism, is that if you look at all the pagan texts, you read the epics of Gilgamesh and the Sumerian flood stories, etc., all their gods, and the Romans, all their gods had human weaknesses, were defined by human beings, had human frailties, acted like humans, they just had superpowers. Like they're like people out of a comic strip, you know, the superheroes, right? But they still had all the human frailties that you can imagine, and that was Judaism came along and said, no, that's not God. Right? God is above all of that, right? He doesn't have the human frailties. He's not defined by anything, and hence Judaism always considered these other things to be paganism, even Christianity, which was a watered down version, watered down that paganism to say that there's a Trinity of one is three, whatever the Jews call it, the triune God. Right, but nevertheless, even that watered-down version, as we see from the Gomorrah, is nevertheless considered paganism. What, however, given all that, what is Maimonides and Judaism's view of Christianity in general on the world scene, Christianity and Islam? As Islam, we'd look at, certainly, it's monotheism. Right? It could be, leaving aside the Maritskius, who says that because they established an independent religion, therefore, they've contravened already the Noahide laws. Leaving that aside, it could be considered Noahide law. Christianity, again, even though it's paganism, what is Maimonides? We'll see that Maimonides has a slightly different attitude to it in history. Again, I'm not quoting from our text of Maimonides. I'm quoting from the 1480 edition of Maimonides, the Rome edition, pre-censorship, because this part was also taken out. What Maimonides says is this. All these matters shall Yeshu, of Jesus, v'shal azeh ha-Yishma'eli, and of the Ishmaelite, referring to Muhammad, she'amad achrav, that stood up after him, 600 years approximately, einan ela, their purpose is, l'yashir derech, to straighten the way, to make, pave a path, l'melech ha-Mashiach, for the Messianic times, l'taken et ha-olam kulo, to fix the entire world, l'avodet Hashem b'yachad, to serve God together. Shinema, as it says, Ki az efoch el amim, then I will turn to the nations, Safa brura, a clear language, likra kulam, that they should all call b'shem Hashem, in the name of God. Ulaogdo shchem echad, to worship him together with one shoulder. In other words, first of all, the same Maimonides, who talks about Christianity as being paganism, and talks about even individual Christians, as opposed to Tosfot, as being pagans, right, and who has such a strict view, nevertheless, he comes along and says, what about their place in history? He says, there's no question, he says, it's a positive development. Both Christianity and Islam, when compared to paganism, are a positive development. He says, they are bringing the world closer to the Jewish ideal. Look what they've introduced to the world. Ketzer, how is this? Kvar nikmaleh ha'olam, the world, the whole world, has already been full, or filled, b'divrei HaMashiach, with the concept of a messianic time. Through Islam and Christianity, everyone has heard about the concept that the world has a specific purpose, is going to come to a specific time, which will be perfected, which will be better. Medivrei HaTorah, they've heard about the Torah itself, the Bible. Medivrei HaMitzvot, the concept of commandments, of absolute moral values from God. Pashtu Dvarim Elu, these words have spread, Be'im Rechokim, in the furthest islands, Be'amim Rabim, in many, many nations, Arei Leilev, even of the most uncivilized of nations. Hey, Nosim V'notim Medivrei HaTorah, not only that, but they discuss and they study the words of the Torah. Or the mitzvot of Torah and the commandments of the Torah. He says there's problems. Elu Omrim, some say that these commandments are true, but after a certain time they're no longer relevant. He says some say that they are true, but they are hidden and they're not to be taken literally. Right. But he says the fact of the matter is that nevertheless, look at the tremendous impact the Bible, this is what my mind is saying, the tremendous impact the Bible has had on civilization is absolutely incredible. And much of it has been due to our daughter religions, to Christianity and Islam, who have spread it in various ways. But the fact that monotheism, in one form or other, is so popular nowadays, so popular, the fact that it even has an influence on some of the Eastern religions, which became more monotheistic when they became involved in Christians. In addition to that, the spread of the Bible and having an impact on the morals of the governments of the world.
The concept of universal brotherhood, the concept of peace as being a value, that was something which didn't exist in the pagan world. Peace as being a value. I mean, the truth of the matter is, if you look through the history of the world, it's just about from one war to the other. Right? But at the very least, people looked at peace as being some type of value. Right? They didn't always keep that value, but they at least considered it a value. There's hope. Right? There's hope. So that's what Maimonides is saying. That while it is true, this may represent a pagan ideology, nevertheless, he considers it a positive development upon the sea. He furthermore says, not here but in a responsa, Maimonides says that if what's the law? The law is, Jewish law is, that because the Torah is considered to be a book first and foremost of law, of what to do, that one has to learn it in order to accept it. The concept of the Torah is that this is the instructions, the instruction book for the world. So it's forbidden for a person who's, for instance, a non-Jew is not allowed to study Torah in depth. Not allowed to study Torah in depth. The idea is, because it's not the type of thing that's meant to be studied as a theory. It's not meant for that. Right? It's meant as a code of a way of life. So, for every single Jew, it's never theory. For a Jew, it's practical. Whether a Jew plans on keeping it or not, but for him, it's not theory. This is his heritage. So Maimonides says, interesting in response, he says the exception to this is Christians. He says you'd really be allowed to teach a Christian Torah. Why? He says because they're so close. They're so close. They've got the same text just about as the Torah as we have, right? As opposed to the Muslims who've radically changed much of the Torah text to fit in with their beliefs. But the Christians have basically the same text of the Torah as we have. They believe in the concept of Torah from heaven. They believe in these in prophecy. He says they're so close, he says, than with them, he says, you're allowed to, because for them it can be also practical. Once you teach them about it, they'll come to an understanding of this. That's what Maimonides says here. Right. What is Maimonides' attitude in terms of our practice towards a pagan? What about a total, complete pagan? The ones he was talking about before, not a Christian or a Muslim, right? But a real pagan, a real genuine pagan. So there Maimonides says that because the Torah, we have to imitate the ways of God. And the way of God is Darcheya Darchei Noam, his ways are ways of pleasantness, the Cholus Sivaseya, and all its ways of peace. So he says, even with a pagan, we are commanded by the rabbis to give charity to their poor, together with the poor Jews, to bury their dead, to visit their sick, and to treat them as we would a fellow Jew. So now, it comes out very straight. Biblically speaking, according to biblical law, the obligation to give charity and to help and to support only applies to a non-Jew who is keeping the seven Noahide laws. Because if he's not keeping them, he's a criminal. He's not keeping the law, right? He's a criminal. You're aiding and abetting him, right? The rabbis extended that. The rabbis said we have to try, and it's like they understood that when God said you don't treat them that way, he wasn't saying that you're not allowed to treat a pagan in the same way. What he's saying is you don't have to. The concept of kindness and the concept of love, the human, you don't have to go that far. The rabbi said, yes, you do. The rabbi said, you have to go further than that. That's the letter of the law. The letter of the law is that only with someone who's not a pagan. But the rabbis extended that. They went further. And they said, you have to go beyond the letter of the law. And Maimonides mentioned, even with a true pagan, he has to be treated with respect. You have to help bury the dead. You have to visit the sick, etc. Right. But the truth of the matter is there's still a distinction. A non-Jew who is a Noahide, who's keeping the Noahide laws, but there you have a strict obligation according to the Torah to treat him in exactly the same way as you would treat a Jew, and he's allowed to live in the land of Israel. You cannot deny him access to the land of Israel. That's basically, there have been cases in history of Noahides, unfortunately few and far between, but I suggest reading a book, it's not in English, forget it. But there's a book called Israel and Humanity. If anyone speaks French or Italian, there's a book called Israel and Humanity by Rabbi Eliyahu Ben Amozik. There was a French philosopher called Ami Pallier, lived in France just before the Second World War. He had a friend who was a rabbi called Rabbi Ben Amozik from Leghorn, Italy. And he wrote to the rabbi that he was became interested in Judaism. The rabbi wrote back to him, well, let me tell you that the Torah has a religion, a universal religion for the non-Jews. And he said, what is it? Noahism. And he wrote him a whole lot of letters explaining what the idea is. Amiel Pallier himself became a Noahide and went around France trying to lecture and trying to convince other people to become Noahides. and he joined the resistance during the Second World War and was killed then. So that was pretty much where the Noachide movement stopped. I understand, though, he was fairly successful, but it was small in comparison. The most famous so-called Noahide nowadays would be Senator Inouye from Hawaii. Anyone heard of Inouye? Daniel Inouye? Daniel K. Inouye. So at the laying of the cornerstone of the Neve Yerushalayim campus, which is the women's college that's associated with us, which is known as the Daniel K. Inouye campus, at the laying of the cornerstone, he said that he considers himself to be a Noahide. He keeps the Noahide laws, he believes in the Torah, he studies the Torah, and he does it, and he helps the Jews whenever he can. Right? He is known as quite a friend of the Jewish people. But he said, how did it happen? He was after the Second World War, when he was fighting, you know the story, I think it was during the Watergate trials, right? During Watergate hearings, one of the guys who was arrested got up and said to Inouye, how dare little chap accuse me of crimes? And Inouye said, Inouye got up and said, listen, buddy, he says, I lost an arm in the Second World War fighting the Japanese, which he did. Right? He actually fought in Europe, fighting the Axis. Right? In any case, so Inouye was involved in the war in Europe. After the war, he was recovering in the hospital. Next to him, in the bed next to him, was a Jew who had been involved in work in the concentration camps. Inouye asked the Jew about what he heard rumors about the concentration camps. He didn't really believe it. It was just like too fantastic. Now, even during the war, people didn't believe it. It was something like people couldn't imagine it. And the Jew showed him newspaper articles, he showed him pictures he took, and Inouye was like totally shocked. And he said he decided to study Jewish history. He couldn't imagine such hatred. It was something unnatural to him. And he decided to study Jewish history. He did. And he decided that on his investigation of Jewish history, he decided to investigate the Tanakh, the Bible, and came to the conclusion that it was in fact accurate, and he felt that it was true. And he didn't convert to Judaism because his mother, he said, would have died had he done such a thing. She was a devout Catholic. And he was suggested by rabbis to accept the Noahide laws, to study the written Torah. And he helps Jews, basically. He's a very great friend of Israel. But that's, as far as the Noahide movement, that's as far as it goes. There is a yeshiva for Gentiles in Jerusalem, teaches the laws of Noah, Noahide laws. Anyway, that's basically the story. You can keep these sources.